Luke chapter 5. Continuing on as we get our hearts ready for Easter. We are Easter people, y'all. And Easter is coming up. We love Christmas, but we are Easter people because Easter is the difference maker. Everything hangs on the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Everything. And so we want to prepare our hearts for Easter. We don't want to just spring it on our hearts. We want to make our hearts ready. That's why we've invited you into the Gospels over these next several weeks. Maybe you've already jumped into that. If you haven't, it's not too late. Grab one of those sheets out there or jump on the website. You'll find it all laid out for you. Let me encourage you in something. Don't try to catch up. Just jump in where we're at. Just jump in where we're at with a heart that would say, Lord, in Jesus' name, remind me of what Jesus said. Remind me of what Jesus did. Remind me of who Jesus is so that when I come to Easter, Lord, I'm ready to receive from your hand. So we've been talking for the last several weeks about what does it mean to just follow the way of Jesus? What does it mean to be following the way of Jesus? They were first called followers of the way in Antioch. Before we were called Christians, we were called followers of the way, which implies that this is an ongoing, right, day by day, moment by moment kind of heart allegiance with Christ. Not just a Sunday spectator sport. Not just how we can show up for an hour at a time and put on our Sunday faces and sing with our Sunday voices. No, it's a following of the way of Jesus. And so Jason's been leading us. We've been talking about how Peter, you know, has this miraculous catch of fish, and there's something about Jesus, about Peter that finally dawns on him, right? Jesus is the real deal. And he moves from being this spiritually uninterested guy, maybe a little curious, but to this place where, oh, wait a minute, I know who you are. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He moves Peter along that line, along that continuum. We were talking about last week, Jason was leading us as we were talking about that guy who just comes and he says, look, I don't know everything there is to know about you, Jesus, but I know if you could, if you were willing, if you chose to, maybe you would heal me. You know, and how do you just move along that pathway? And today we're going to be looking at the story of those four friends. I assume there was four of them because there were four corners of the mat. The guys who took their friend to Jesus. He couldn't walk. He couldn't get there on his own. They took their friend to Jesus. And so the title comes. You remember that old line, that TV commercial back in the day? Friends don't let friends drive drunk. Remember that one? You're dating yourself if you remember that one. It actually sort of had a lot of spinoffs of people, comedians who just thought it was really funny. Friends don't let friends. Here was one of the famous ones. Friends don't let friends do stupid things alone, right? Because if you're really my friend, you're going to be doing the stupid thing right there with me, right, Josh? I mean, that's just how friendship really works. That's commitment, right? So what I want to bring you to today is friends. Don't let friends stay on the mat. Friends don't let friends just lay there. Friends don't let friends die without telling them about the hope that we can find in Jesus. Let me ask you a couple of questions that we'll come back around to. One, where are you with Jesus? Where are you with Jesus? I mean, one of the things that we're just longing to see is for people like you and me to sort of name your stage. Where are you at with Jesus? Are you spiritually uninterested? Are you spiritually curious? Have you come to a newfound faith in Jesus, a new place with Christ? Are you taking it further beyond the Sunday into your daily walk with Jesus? And have you come to the place where you realize there are some people that you know who need to find what you found in Jesus? Where are you? Where are you with Jesus? Question number two. Who do you know that needs to find what you've found in Jesus? Because friends don't let friends just lay there. Friends don't let friends die like that. Who do you know who needs to find what you've found in Jesus? And here's where the rubber meets the road. Will you tell them? Will you pick up a corner of the mat? Will you join arms? Will you lock arms with a few other people who care for the people that you care for and see them come to know Jesus? You got to start where you are, right? You got to start where you are. You got to name your stage and you're following the way. Spiritually uninterested, there may be people in this room right now who honestly, you're here because it's easier for you to bear this hour than to bear a week long put down for not showing up. So you came and you're here and that's fine. That's fine. You just kind of mark in the minutes until lunchtime. If that's you, I'm glad you're here. I'm really, really glad you're here, and I'm not making fun of that at all. But I do feel like it's the first step in an important directional flow. Because there are some people who are here today who are spiritually curious, who not that many weeks ago, honestly, weren't that interested. But they've come enough times to know that maybe they would say, I'm not even sure I believe this stuff, but I'm pretty sure that you guys do. I'm not even sure that I buy this stuff. But clearly it's made a difference in some of you guys' life. So if it's helped you, maybe I should sniff around a little bit just to figure this out. Just spiritually curious, that's all, just spiritually curious. Or maybe somewhere over the last several weeks, maybe somewhere over the last several years, or maybe actually reaching all the way back to when you were a kid, there's something resurrecting in you of a belief that was once there, that once marked your life, that kind of went dormant, but it seems to be budding out in you yet again. And maybe you would say, you know what? I do believe. I mean, I'm not going to stand up in front of everybody, but I believe. I'm not going to start preaching a sermon or teaching a class, but yeah, I believe. Jesus is who he says he is. Jesus did what he came to do, and I need you. I get it. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Jesus, I need you. New believer. But if you've been sniffing around long enough, maybe you've come to the place where you just say, you know what? In order for this to work, I'm probably going to need to press in. I'm going to need to go for more than just a Sunday. In order for this to work, I'm going to need to let it make a difference in my life as it goes on. Disciple may sound like a churchy word to you. Maybe a better word for you, just a less baggage-filled word, would be a follower. A sure enough follower of Jesus, following the way. But if you stay in that boat long enough, God's going to put some people on your heart, and you're going to find yourself being that guy, the guy who says to his friend, why don't you come with me to church on Sunday? Just come check it out. See what you think. You move from disciple to disciple maker, and that's what's going on in this story. Peter, when Jesus shows up for him in his boat, he just hits his knees and says, away from me, Jesus, I'm an unclean man. When the leper comes to Jesus, he's like, man, I don't know. Just a shot in the dark. But if you're willing, maybe you could help me. And today we find ourselves with these four guys who have somebody that they genuinely care about. Honestly, care too much to leave him the way he is, and they begin to make their way. They begin to make their way to Jesus. Let me read this to you. It's in Luke chapter 5, beginning at verse 17. It says this: one day Jesus was teaching, and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were sitting there, and they'd come from every village in Galilee, every village and town in Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem even. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Let me just stop right there and say something. This is a total aside, has nothing to do with a particular message today, but I do want to invite you into something, and that is to say, for Luke to tell us that the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick, can I just give you permission for something? Some of you are here today, and you're waiting for a call back from the doctor tomorrow. And you need to be healed. I was talking to a brother this morning who was talking to a doctor just last week, and they said, well, I don't know why your levels are back to normal. There might be several reasons. And the guy said, no, I got the reason. I know the reason. We prayed, and Jesus answered our prayer. I'm just telling you, it's the same Jesus who had the power to heal then has the power to heal now. And the same presence of the Lord that was with Jesus then can be with us now. And if you need that healing, let me just pray this over you. Lord, in Jesus' name, would you bring the healing? And in doing so, Lord, would you heal hearts? Would you heal minds? Would you break the chains of addictions, Lord? Would you set people free? And when you do, Lord, in Jesus' name, would you make it clear, so very, very clear, that it's you who is at work in our lives. Amen? The power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. And some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. And they tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. And when they couldn't find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and they lowered him on his mat through the tiles of the roof into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. Now, if you were raised in church, you might have heard this story a million times. But if you're not familiar with this story, this is a weird one. I don't know if you know this, but in Jesus' day, it was not common like it is for us to go to your neighbor's house and peel the roof off. It's just not something people did back then. Now it's a little, no, come on. I mean, you talk about being distracted when you're preaching. I mean, it's one thing if a baby cries. If your baby cries, praise God for your baby crying. I'll give you the verse I give to people when their baby cries in a worship service. The Lord has perfected praise from the mouths of infants. We just haven't quite figured out how to understand that particular tongue yet, okay? But that's okay. That's okay if your baby cries. Now, if your phone rings while I'm preaching, that's a different story. But you want to talk about distraction while you're preaching. Can you imagine? Can you imagine just sitting there trying to get your point across and dust starts falling from the ceiling and you look up and you got junk in your eyes and suddenly sunshine is coming through and you see four faces looking down as if we haven't found the right place, we'll go dig another hole. No, no, no. And they look down and the next thing you know, there's these guys, I don't know, would they tie ropes to the corners of the mat? I don't know how this works. And they start lowering the guy down. Put yourself as the guy on the mat for a minute. Can you imagine how terrified this guy must have been? I mean, to have people, I mean, it's one thing if your friends are going to help you get where you can beg for alms or whatever, but they're going through it and they're saying, well, we could always go up on the roof. And if I'm the guy on the mat, I'm saying, no, 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 no. I don't want you ponying me up onto the roof. No, what if you drop me? I mean, I don't know how much worse it could get, but it could get worse, right? And they get him up on the roof and he's terrified. I can't, but, and then they start opening the hole and they're thinking, is it big enough yet? I don't, what is it? And they start lowering. Can you imagine? All you can see is straight up and you got the faces of your friends and they're grunting and straining and sweating as they're lowering the rope. And you get down low enough and then the next set of eyes you see is the face of Jesus. And it says here, Jesus, when he saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. It doesn't even say anything about his faith. When he saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. It stops me in my tracks that Jesus called him friend. I can't imagine any word I would rather hear from Jesus than to call me friend. Friend, your sins are forgiven. But it doesn't go the way it ought to go. And the people who are standing around listening to Jesus, they said, who does this guy think he is? Who does this guy think he is? Only God can forgive sins. Who is he to forgive sins? And Jesus answers back. He says, why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take up your mat, and go home. And immediately he stands up, he takes up his mat, and he leaves. I heard a sermon one time. It was about the temporary miracles of Jesus. The temporary miracles of Jesus. Because you know that every blind eye that Jesus opened eventually dimmed again. Right? You know that, right? Every lame leg eventually got stiff again. Even the people that he raised from the dead ultimately died again. And the only permanent miracle, the only eternal miracle of Jesus is when he says, friend, your sins are forgiven. Like when he said it to the guy on the cross, when he said, today you'll be with me in paradise. That's the only miracle that lasts forever. Who does this guy think he is? And that's a critical question, because it's a question every one of us are going to have to ask and answer. Who do people say I am? When he was talking to his disciples after the transfiguration, who do people say that I am? And they came up with different answers. If you were to ask your friends, if you were to go to the people that you care about and love who need to find what you found in Jesus, and you said, what do you believe about Jesus? I think a couple of things might surprise you. I think you may find that there are more people that you know who believe in Jesus than you think. You might find that people say, I believe in Jesus. Sure, I believe in Jesus. I just don't like church much. You may find people who say, oh, sure, I believe in Jesus, believed in Jesus since I was a little kid. But my parents forced me to go so much that I lost my taste for it and I've never been back. You may find people who say, I don't believe in Jesus because all the Christians that I know lead me down the wrong path. If that's what Jesus looks like, I don't want anything to do with it. To which you might answer, let me show you what I have found in Jesus. Not saying I've got it right. I'm just saying I have this genuine, personal, life-changing encounter with Jesus. And it embarrasses me that I've never talked to you about it before. But I would like to invite you to find what I have found in Jesus. Who do people say that I am? You got to name your stage. You got to figure out where you are. Curious? Interested? New believer? Returning believer? Where are you at? There's this line in Romans chapter 10. Let me read it to you. In Romans chapter 10, Paul just says this. He says, look, brothers and sisters, my heart's desire, my prayer to God for the Israelites, for my people, my prayer to God for my family, my prayer to God for the ones that I love who name the same name, my prayer to God, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for my people is that they may be saved. Because friends don't let friends just lay there. Friends don't let friends die on the mat. He goes on, he says, I can testify about them that they're zealous for God. They're spiritual people, but their zeal is not based on knowledge, since they did not know the righteousness of God and sought to establish their own righteousness. You know people, I know people. I've been the guy who tries to sanctify myself, who tries to live in my own ability to keep the rules. He says, Christ is the culmination of the law so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Let me skip down to one of the most famous verses, one of the most hope-filled verses. It says this. It says, the word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message connecting concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. This isn't rocket science. This is your heart being naive enough to say, no, I get it. You are who you say you are. And I need you. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. And then it goes on, it says this, Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Not if you haven't crossed the line too far yet. Not if you haven't drifted too far away. Not if you've committed these sins but not these. No, that's not what it says. It says everyone, you, me, the people you love, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And then it goes on to say this. It goes on to say, how can they call on the one they've not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone telling them. So where are you with Jesus? Maybe today's your day. Maybe this is the time for you to confess with your mouth, to believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. Maybe today is your day to be saved. Or maybe you did that years ago. Maybe you did that years ago, but there have been a lot of years and a lot of miles since it meant much to you. And if that's you, then maybe today's your day to come back. Maybe today's your day to re-engage in a personal relationship with Jesus that changes everything. And maybe, you guys can go ahead and start playing. Maybe today is a day for you to figure out the people you love who need to find what you have found in Jesus. And have a heart that says, I'm going to pick up the mat, because friends don't let friends lay there and die. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me for a minute? You may have been thinking to yourself, I have exhausted all my chances and there's no more hope for me. Wow. That's just wrong. That's just not the truth. The truth is, God loves you. And he has loved you with an everlasting love, and he's never stopped loving you. Maybe you say, I feel so powerless to do anything about my spiritual life. I feel so powerless to make a change. Can I just tell you, precious friends, can I just tell you? It starts by simply believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth. This isn't rocket science. This is come to Jesus. Jason would pray with you. I would pray with you. Ethan would. Paul would. There's so many people who would love to pray with you. A simple prayer that would say, God, I'm sorry. God, I need you. Come into my heart.